Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Getting It Done, and I'm your host, Dr. Walter Dean. I'm dedicating this show to my son, Gabriel, who finished boot camp in the Marines, and I received a picture of him last night by his mother, showing me how he looked in his beautiful Marine uniform. But I'm hoping that he does not have to experience some of the kinds of things that I did when I was growing up. Many of you listening don't remember Jim Crowism. This period in the United States history took place from the beginning of the 1900s all the way up to the 1960s, and believe it or not, I was alive during the 1960s. And at that particular time, I remember many of these kinds of things that were happening, and I didn't understand precisely why they were happening, but I remember them happening. I'd like for you to give an idea of what I'm talking about by this show, and you will understand how the black teens that we're and the black people that you'll be hearing about their experiences are very similar to what took place in Jim Crowism, and it seems like we're back in the early 1900s right now. And just give a listen.
Back to CBS This Morning Saturday. We begin this half hour with another incident of a minority being targeted while performing everyday activities. A South Carolina woman is facing assault and battery charges after being accused of hitting a black teenager at a community pool.
Get out now.
A camera caught Stephanie Sebi Strimple last month as she appeared to verbally and physically assault 15-year-old Darshan Rockamore Simmons, also known as DJ. We spoke exclusively with DJ and his parents, who believe he was targeted because of his skin color.
She called me the N-word and she called me a punk.
15-year-old DJ says he was invited to the pool by a friend when Stephanie Sebi Strimple approached him.
911, okay? Get out.
He says she physically and verbally assaulted him and forced him to leave.
This lady walked up to us. I was like, y'all have to leave.
And you said?
We said, yes, ma'am. And I started walking out. She just started hitting me.
What were you thinking when this woman is assaulting you?
It was shocking.
The next day, DJ showed the video to his parents, who believed the attack was racially motivated. As a mother, when you saw that, what was your reaction?
It hurt. You know, I could never imagine putting my hands on somebody else's child.
All of those adults there, there was nobody to step up and stop this lady, say, hey, why are you hitting this young man?
Sebi Strimple was arrested and charged with third-degree assault and battery. She was also fired from her job.
Who took the camera out and started recording this?
I did.
Why?
Because I knew it could end up in the other side, like, flipped around.
You knew that she would possibly be believed over you?
Yes.
This incident is drawing comparison to other recent confrontations captured on video.
Illegally selling water without a permit?
Including this video where a woman calls the police on a black 8-year-old girl selling water on the sidewalk.
Charcoal grills are not allowed here.
In California, this woman called the cops on a black family barbecuing in the park.
You should not be wearing that in the United States of America.
Okay.
And in a Chicago park, a man harasses a woman for wearing a shirt with a Puerto Rican flag on it.
If you're an American citizen, why is he wearing that?
The woman asks an officer standing a few yards away for help.
Can you hear me, friend?
But the officer appears to ignore the confrontation. He has since resigned from the force.
Here you've got a video, you've got audio, you've got still shots of what happened, and it speaks for itself.
DJ's attorney, Margie Pizarro, says he handled the situation the right way.
We saw him not retaliate. When we saw him walk away, that was something that was commendable.
DJ says he's entered counseling to try and process the alleged assault. What did you learn?
I learned from it. I learned how to handle it again if I have to deal with it.
What did you learn about yourself?
I have a lot of discipline and self-control.
Yeah, just think of this. This happened the day after he turned 15, the day after he wins a championship for basketball at the YMCA, the day after his great-grandmother dies, his grandmother goes into the hospital. He waited a day to tell his parents this happened because he was so concerned about their mental state. And on top of that, this is a kid who is on the basketball team, the football team, is a distinguished gentleman's club member, and is so involved.
None of that matters.
It doesn't.
He's just a kid, and somebody should have helped him.
And no matter how many times we see that video, it is just as disturbing every time. I don't know if this is naive to say, but when did we get so angry? When did everyone get so angry in that?
That is the question. That is the question. Welcome back to CBS This Morning, Saturday.
Yes, those are the kinds of things that were happening, believe it or not, when I was a child. And I can remember, this was not in the South, believe it or not, but this was in the North that it happened. That situation happened in the South, in South Carolina. That situation with me happened, something very similar to that. I wasn't hit. But I was stopped by the police. I'll tell you about that later. Let's continue, and I'd like for you to hear something else. Because these kinds of things have been continuing, and I'm quite sure. I mean, I don't know if many of you realize that they are happening. Let's go on.
I'm in Montgomery County, Maryland. She was that close to getting her ass whooped. Rotate.
White people are crazy as fuck. Do you see her? Do y'all see her? Do y'all really see her? Like, so if I beat her ass, then what? If I knock her ass out, you have 3 seconds to get out of my way. I'm going to beat the shit
out of
you.
Move out of the way.
One.
Get her, please.
Tell her to move. I'm going to whoop your grandmother's ass. Two. Peewee, move, please. Can you move, man?
No, I'm not. I'm not
can you move?
Me? Who are you talking to on that phone? Is it a resident of this building?
Here's
a resident of this building.
Here's an old ass woman, guys. Tell your nana to get her ass out of the way. Nana, please. Fuck out of the way. Don't fuck you, bitch.
I'm really going to rob somebody.
Do you hear her? You need to get your hair done. Whatever. This bitch is crazy as fuck. This bitch right here. She just stood in the middle and hood, like, held me. And she said, I'm going to go rob somebody. You racist, dirty, nasty-ass fuck.
Okay. Here's what I'm still just... She was preventing her from leaving. That's false imprisonment. I'm telling y'all. Luckily, that sister was holding the phone.
I think, Roland, this might be the closest you've come in this beautiful segment you do all the time. Was that the closest you've come in the ones you've shown?
What happened was a white homeless dude rolled up on a brother who worked at FedEx in Seattle and accosted the brother. The brother knocked his ass out, and the white man died. No, he had some condition or whatever, but the brother knocked his ass out cold. He died. Eugene, I'm telling you, I keep telling it. They ain't pressed charges against him because he was like, yo, he said self-defense. But this white woman is blocking the sister from leaving a building where she lives.
She should have knocked her out. It went beyond just words, right? That was actually physical contact there. I'm no lawyer, but I could get to play one on this show on occasion. So that looks like it would, be assault in Maryland, probably in a second degree. And so I think, there's no self-defense law in Maryland, but I think there's a good argument that could be made that, hey, that was my only way out.
When you had the white boy who worked at YouTube or Google, one of them, I remember his kid was like, Daddy, Daddy, let's go. Same thing. The grandchild was like, come on. And what she's like, then this is your grandchild. Yeah. I mean, the little children are seeing, hey, your old ass racist, let them go.
Well, that's the beauty of this is that she's a racist, you know what, but her grandchild gets it. So as he grows up, perhaps he'll keep that consciousness. But, you know, if I was at, well, I'm too old, I was going to say if I was at Seth, I'd be a butt, too. But
no, your ass, you would have done it. Don't even come from him. I'm too old. You're damn well, you would have done
that.
You know, damn well. Greg, I'm telling you, I keep telling people, yo, black people are not going to continue to be, I'm going to pray for you and be nice, I'm going to be calm. I'm telling you, somebody, I'm warning y'all, somebody's wife going to get killed.
Oh, no question.
She's going to get their ass whooped, beat down viciously. And people are going to be saying, why'd you have to do that? Because we have done this now, I swear, 20, 30 times.
That's crazy. No. And for viewers around the country and around the world who will be watching this, Montgomery County, that's really D.C. I mean, that's Silver Spring, Maryland. I'm trying to figure out whether that, because, you know, that's right across the D.C. line. And we could throw a rock and hit it from here.
It's
so,
Fort Knox.
It's no question. It really is. So, no, but the point you've been raising over and over again, Roland, in this space, yeah, somebody, they're going to try to write one in a minute. And,
okay.
and that girl was smiling the whole time, the young sister, she was video. In other words, you could tell that she had managed it, but if she had turned around and that grandbaby was trying to save her grandbaby, Nana, please.
I'm telling y'all, I keep telling y'all, you tell these white folks, stop detaining black people, stop blocking people from leaving their own damn buildings,
right.
Stop asking them who they visiting. Stop asking them, do you live here taking the trash out? The one we're going to show you tomorrow is the white woman who jailed my brother delivering packages. I'm telling you,
he was UPS or something?
Don't matter.
In a uniform.
No.
Delivering packages.
Come on, man.
And backed off when the white UPS guy said, no, he worked with me. I'm trying to tell y'all. I am not condoning it, but I'm trying to tell y'all, black people are not going to play this, and I'm just warning y'all right now, so when it happens, y'all going to say, Roland, you called it. All right, folks, I'm going to hold my uncle's video in just one moment. Damn, it's holiday season. This is when you think about.
Well, you heard that. Let's go on. The main reason why I'm saying this is let's go on.
You want to support Roland Martin Hustle Culture? Be sure to join our Bring the Funk fan club. Every dollar that you give to us supports our daily digital show. There's only one daily digital show out here that keeps it black and keep it real. That's Roland Martin Unfiltered. Support the Roland Martin Unfiltered daily digital show by going to RolandMartinUnfiltered.com. You can make this possible. Y'all know what time it is.
I'm white. I got you. Illegally selling water without a permit on my property.
Hey, give me that.
I'm
black man sitting in his car. White woman rolls up on him. He's like, what do you want? I live here. She goes, no, you don't.
Good.
Right here. This lady's crazy, y'all. I'm at my house.
Michael, these white folks are acting like we're back in South Africa where you have to present your papers to prove to them your citizenship.
Absolutely. By the way, you always do that extra line of research. Did she lose her job or anything? Because I love when you do that.
We're waiting on that. Well, you certainly, she should be losing it shortly. But Amisha, that's really what we're dealing with. This whole deal of who are you, what are you doing here, where these folks feel they have the right to challenge black who simply are existing.
It's always completely baffling to me that there's an expectation that a complete stranger who walks up on you, you now owe them some type of residency papers, or you owe them, you know, the showing of your lease. I have never seen a person in my building or around my building that I felt it necessary to go and ask whether or not they live there. I just haven't. So there's something that is within these individuals that gives them some sense of urgency.
Amisha, it's whiteness. What it is, it's no different than the video that we showed when the brother was just walking his dog and the white woman rolled up. Or the sister who went to go pick up somebody, I guess, put out a bear. If you want some dog food, just come and get it. I think it was some notice in the neighborhood, and the sister went and picked it up. And then a white man followed her all around. He's like, well, who are you? Where'd you come from? What did you pick up? Show me the dog food. I mean, no, it's whiteness. What it is, I'm telling you, this is just like during slavery, during Jim Crow South Africa apartheid. I, being white, have the absolute right to question you regardless of anything. That's what it is.
And we have to
Let me should go ahead and rock.
And then call the police when you don't respond as if you owe them something. I think that, you know, it escalates beyond I'm just trying to figure out who's living here, which is also inappropriate. Now it is I'm going to call the police because your mere existence on this property means that you're illegal.
Right.
Something you think is illegal.
Yeah, I was 12 years old. The police were calling me while I was playing video games at an actual bowling alley. The police pulled up, assumed, and actually listened to the manager of the bowling alley, said that I threatened his life. None of that actually happened. This happens all the time. And this is the power of social media. This is the benefit. This is being exposed. And it's been allowed to go on. It needs to stop. We need to end it. And this needs to end right now.
I'm going
to
tell you something right now, okay? I'm going to be real clear. Anybody white, if your punk ass walk on my property and ask me to prove that's my house, I'm going to call the cops. First of all, I'm going to call the cops on your ass for trespassing. Let me be real clear. Now, let me tell y'all something in Texas. I'm going to let y'all know. This ain't like, let me be real clear with y'all. That story out of Michigan, where they were in the mall and a white woman pulled a gun out on the black woman and her two daughters, and her and her husband got arrested. Let me tell y'all something in Texas. When somebody step foot on your property, you got the right to defend yourself. That's also staying your ground. I'm trying to warn white people. Y'all are going to roll up on the wrong brother or sister, and you going to come get in somebody's face on their property, and they're going to shoot your ass. And they're going to say, you were threatening, you were on my property, challenging me, and they're going to invoke staying your ground. I'm telling you. We do this segment, and white folks need to understand, you cannot keep rolling up on black folks acting like you the popo, and you have the right to demand to see our ID and question that we live somewhere. I'm telling you, it's not going to end well for somebody, Michael. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
And the other tip, it's more than you always mention, besides white folks losing their jobs when they act stupid. What are you telling them to do? Turn their phone sideways to get the full.
Turn your phone horizontal or landscape so we can get the full look of right there in the video. Absolutely. That's what y'all do. I'm telling you, this thing is real. To Misha's point, they have this whole, I got the right to question you. The woman yesterday, I know everybody who lives in the neighborhood. How the hell your ass know everybody? All right, folks, I got all my uncles to get to just one moment.
I'm going to stop it right there. And a lot of this has a lot to do with the development of the whole concept of white supremacy. Let's hear about that, and then you'll be able to see exactly how things are moving in that direction.
You want to support one of our culture? Be sure to join our Bring the Thought fan club. Every dollar that you give to us supports our daily digital show. Only one daily digital.
And then we had a lot of folks that were unable to carry weapons but still were in uniform that numbered about another 150. And then, of course, you had a volume of spectators that wanted to trail along to see what was going to happen. They numbered at about another 150.
So you, how long did it take for you to coordinate this, and was it also meant to let folks know, not just in Atlanta but around the country, that there are African Americans today in many ways who were like the Deacon of the Fence in the 1960s, who protected black communities from the KKK?
I would answer that in a twofold answer. First, they had a twofold purpose. If you remember, with the murder of Ahmaud Arbery in Brunswick, Georgia, those were our members that showed up armed, the armed citizens you heard about. That was our first foray into this matter that has gotten completely out of control with violence happening at the hands of, I hate to say it, white Americans against what appears to be predominantly black Americans. I'm not saying other people don't get shot, But for the racial piece to be added in there on top of everything else that we've been going through, quarantine, pandemic, and so forth, loss of jobs, and, of course, the tension being risen in the country, that we had reached a point that even though we had gone through all of that, there was a remnant of us that's been in place for quite some time. We're the older guys. We're the mature guys. We're your vets. We're your folks who are responsible gun owners. We're the individuals that, you know, we remember the 60s or 70s, 80s, 90s, and now here in the 20s, we're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. We know the law. We're law-abiding gun owners, so we understand the Constitution. And, of course, we all believe in the Second Amendment of the Constitution and the First Amendment. So the first show of force was pretty much just to let folks know that this is not the way that we want to see things progress, but if they do, we're going to have to take Malcolm X's words and defend ourselves against these continued attacks. So we decided to do two things. The first thing was to exercise our constitutional right to bear arms in accordance with the law, and, of course, to peacefully assemble, and then at the same time send what we felt was the message to the heart of what we feel is probably the driving engine behind a lot of what is now coming to light. The FBI report that said that there would be an insurgence of white supremacists and those folks into law enforcement, into the military, have begun to work to bear fruit. We're seeing that in the increased numbers of police-involved shootings. We're also starting to see certain behaviors that are not so much related to police, but are related to the Jim Crow era and related to the era of lynching. A spate of lynchings across the country that no one seems to want to explain, like all of a sudden black men became experts on how to tie nooses and jump off of trees all of a sudden, when the history that we have within our culture is that hanging is the last thing that a black man is going to think about doing, not taking anything away from suicide rates, as we study. But in this particular instance, given the atmosphere that we were seeing, with the resurgence of what appears to be very evident white militia that the police are unwilling to even so much as detain as they do black folks, with the rise in the protests that happened after George Floyd, and then again the increased presence of what we could only deem as agitators, dressed like police but heavily armed, we thought it would be in our best interest to send a message to the heart of what we believe is the driving engine behind that, the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan. What we found out when we dealt with the McMichaels and Mr. Bryan down in Brunswick is that they were all members of the same Klan Lodge, which told us it took full volume. When we found out that the most of the folks in the town were okay with that, we know about the Deep South. Well, in this particular instance, Stone Mountain represents the birthplace or the rebirth place of the Ku Klux Klan. So we decided to do something that had never been done before, and that was to peacefully assemble a formation, not a mob, not a bunch of protesters, not a demonstration, but to call a formation of our black militia, which is what we are, and to actually go up to the mountain and make a statement that we wanted to make under the First Amendment to the Constitution, and then leave. That was the intention. In the process of us planning this, here comes the threat. And this threat was communicated by major media, communicated by the White House, Department of Justice. So we took it at face value, even though we hadn't seen anything of some of these other threats. We were not going to continue to threaten the black race. It was not going to happen. And it was time for us to show folks that, you know, we can defend ourselves. There's been a lot of misinformation out there. Where folks are trying to paint us as a terrorist group, or that we're out to attack folks, and that's not the purpose. The purpose was to send the message. The message was sent very well, and we also demonstrated that we could organize ourselves in such a fashion that no one got hurt. There were no incidences of anyone accidentally killing themselves. There was no property damage. There were some exchanges of words between some of the folks who were made to leave the park. Folks don't understand that the law enforcement evacuated the park when we came. They closed the park for us to avoid any conflict. So it was a very peaceful event. As a matter of fact, it was a history-making event because it happened simultaneously with another march that we had in Phoenix, Arizona, at the exact same time. This was a message to all of the white militia and to all of the folks who continue to believe that you can treat black folks any particular type of way and that we will not stand up as U.S. citizens and arm ourselves per the Constitution.
When you are on that particular point there, I mean, we have seen all of these different white militia groups come out mad protesting. They don't have they don't want to wear masks, things along those lines, and storming state capitals. What I've said to people that when I see this video, the actions of these black folks totally different than what I've seen for some of these white protesters in Michigan and Wisconsin. I mean,
absolutely.
But people all say, "Oh my God!" Because again, we know how America is. We always say it.
America freaks the hell out when black folks with guns show up in public.
Well, you have to understand something, Roland. If you read the book Brainwashed by Tom Burrell, it talks a lot about...
Oh, yeah. I actually interviewed Tom Burrell, so know him well.
Great book, great book. He actually talks about a lot of behaviors that have been ingrained into certain cultures, so that automatically, by default, we automatically assume something to be wrong, even if it's not against the law. And one of the things that he talks about in that book is the fact that African-Americans have been socialized to believe that the presence of guns is an evil thing. And that's why the image of the black man being the evil crime marauding across the, you know, great robbing and pillaging, as if this is the birth of a new nation, has been ingrained on both sides of the fence. However, when white folks decide they want to pick up guns and run up on state houses and threaten police and nothing happens, black folks see that and go, well, you know, it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. And as you all know, it's no fun when the rabbit has the gun. So to be honest with you, we, again, are not a mob, and we're not talking about something that we feel about. We're looking at a situation that is deteriorating, and we feel we have to defend ourselves. Our policing models are broken. Remote policing does not work. We feel there's a need for us to get back to community policing. We feel there's a need for us to start protecting our own communities again under the laws that are established in the land, and also the educating of our own people. Not just gun clubs, but the actual ability that a gun is necessary for you to have on your person legally in this apartheid-like environment that we live in the United States.
Well, and the reality is, which I've said to people, that if you choose not to, you don't have to. Look, I fired a gun one time at the FBI Academy. It was a self-esteem gun. I was a grossly overrated experience. So I was like, yo, I'll go back to playing golf. But if somebody, I mean, that's just me. And so I've never... My family has never had one in our household. That's just me. I don't need to have one. My brother, he's gone out hunting with his son and his daughter. Great. And again, but the thing, though, is we also understand the history. When those Black Panthers rolled up in the state capital of Sacramento, the white legislators freaked the hell out and immediately moved against that. And, in fact, if you also take it even further, to even go back, the creation of the NRA and creation. I mean, bottom line is, white folks in this country have always had a response to black resistance by grabbing guns. And
well, let me throw something in there, Roland. Here's the deal. There's two things that we have to address before we can go any further. The first thing is that the double standard, you know, the hypocrisy of it all.
Right.
Militia marches, nobody says anything. Couple of guys get locked up in Virginia for impersonating police officers with twisty ties to throw somebody in a truck and go lynch them. Nobody says anything. Black folks assemble to peacefully a march to a notoriously controversial landmark. They say a few words under the First Amendment right, and all of a sudden, I mean, I've seen the headlines around the world, everything from anti-Semitic, which we're not, to we're out to attack white folks, to we're trying to take Texas. Texas is already geared up for an invasion. You heard of getting ready. People are telling us to come on down, let's duke it out. And we're like, that's not what we said.
Well, but here's the deal, though. For the folks who understand in Texas, the new Black Panther Party, look, I covered those guys in Dallas. And I remember being there. People like, oh, my God. These black people
with guns.
No. What I'm saying is, I'm born and raised there. I was covering those guys in Dallas. People were freaking out. And I'm sitting there going, hey, wait a minute. Of black folks walking around with weapons, because, I mean, I was there when Khalid Muhammad was with them. They went to the James Byrd when they went there, and they had their guns. People were freaking out. And I was like, yo, so white folks over there got their guns. Open carry state. Open. It doesn't say open carry for white people. It says open carry.
Exactly. Now, here's the second part, and this is the part where I've been waiting to say this to you. I want to thank you. Because you are the first person in black news media who saw fit to have a conversation with us about a historic event that has happened that has been ignored by mainstream media. It has been ignored especially by black media. And believe it or not, most folks are hearing one twisted version or another. So folks were wondering when were you guys going to show up. And I wanted to thank you, Roland, because someone said, you know, Roland wants to have you come on. I'm like, what do you mean, Roland Martin? Someone finally spoke up. Roland, I have to tell you that I have newfound respect for you after the comedy show you put on Monique's page, Monique Presley's page. I thought that was hilarious. I knew, didn't know you could be so funny. But now you have my newfound respect in journalism again, and I want to thank you for being the first black news media outlet of major proportions that actually have the impact come on. discussing what we were doing, why we were doing it, and to speak from the perspective of the black citizen.
Because I have there are people who are commenting on Periscope. I see them on Facebook and YouTube as well. And so one of the things that I saw one particular comment the folks wanted to get from you is that we've seen the shootings that are taking place in Atlanta, the 8-year-old girl being killed as well. And one of the folks who said, should there also be this presence in protecting African Americans in cases like that? What is your comment to that?
You know, that's kind of ironic that they asked that question, because once we completed the march on Stone Mountain and we were done and we had been escorted out of the park, we actually went down to the Wendy's where Rashard Brooks was killed, and we met with the young men that were out there guarding the place, and they asked us for pointers, and one of the guys even said when we got there, what took you guys so long to get here? And we walked around and they showed us the place, they showed us the stores. And we told them, you guys want to get some training, you guys want to, you know, you want to do this, you got to do it right. And everything was great. And then we left to escort Rashad Brooks' sister down to Centennial Park to a reparations rally. She asked us to be her security. And while we were down there, you know, again, it was a great time. And then we left. We were smart enough not to hang around any town after sunset. We're not that stupid. So we were long gone. We're not from Georgia. Some of us were, but we all know that we should disappear. And then to hear what happened later, the shooting and so forth, was distressing us because it was right where we was, and we kind of felt like, at first we thought it was, you know, someone was trying to be retaliatory because we were there, because the young men did tell us that the Ku Klux Klan had come by and shot up the place a couple of nights before. But then again, I can tell you now that the state of things in Atlanta at the time, there was lawlessness not just in that area, it was throughout the city. You know, we saw a decreased police presence, and we saw a lot of folks who were taking advantage of that. So the hearing of that shooting distressed us, but probably intensely even more was the fact that there was not a structure like us in place that was already doing community policing. Because now that we've got a photograph and a videotape of a young man that's obviously not even qualified to be in the NFAC, we are an old folks organization. There are no young kids per se in our organization. Now that we've got a video of what this young man looks like, and we know there are 3 or 4 other suspects involved, we too have gone public to demand that that individual be turned over by the community so that they can be dealt with, because that is inexcusable. And yes, we do believe that is another justification for us to have our own community policing as opposed to remote policing, because those folks know who's in their neighborhood. So I do support that, and that is one of the tenets of the NFAC.
And you're speaking about the shooting death of Sequoia Turner. Folks, go to my iPad. This is the photo that authorities released. They are looking to question this individual in that particular shooting. Of course, we also have there were several young black kids who were killed in Chicago over the weekend as well. Last question for you, and I've got people I've seen. I'm reading comments from people who literally are commenting right now on Facebook. To the people who normally watch our YouTube channel, we're having some issue there. It's buffering, so my apologies there. So if you got a problem with our YouTube channel, go to our Facebook page or our Periscope page, because we're streaming on all three. So, Grandmaster Jay, the question to you is, folks are saying, do you have chapters in other cities? And if so, is there a central location where people can go to get more information? They also want to know about starting chapters in their own place as well under your group's banner. They want to know, where do they get information?
Absolutely. Anyone who is, there are two answers. Anyone who's interested in becoming a member of InFact, you can go to info@blacknfac.com. I'll say it again, info@blacknfac.com, and give us your contact information. There is a vetting process, and some of those, they have to do with the ability to own guns and attain a carry concealed. So you know your own background, so act accordingly. The other, if you want information on the group itself, you can either come directly to me, myself, and through our portal on Instagram. That's my official Instagram account. That's the official Grandmaster J on Instagram for the time being. Instagram is censoring us very heavily these days, as is Facebook, so we're looking at moving to other platforms. I am here on YouTube, but my YouTube may become the new place. But right now, we are controlling the flow of information, though. We're controlling it because we learned our lessons from COINTELPRO. We learned our lessons from Operation Black Messiah. We've learned our lessons. So we're not as openly with our information as some organizations are. We are a militia. So we have to protect that information. So we control the input of whatever that comes in. Additionally, anyone who's curious about chapters. There are chapters around the country. We're still birthing chapters. As a matter of fact, the young man in Louisiana that they had to run in last week, him and I have talked several times about them becoming the Louisiana arm of the NFAC. If you already have a militia-type organization in your city, feel free to reach out to us, and then we can have a conversation, and then we can talk about whether or not we attend that, because we are a coalition, which means that we work along with different elements. However, our core group itself is pretty large. So if you want to join the NFAC directly, that's what you saw in Stone Mountain. Those were all NFAC. Please feel free to get in touch with us. There is going to be, and I'll end with this one, we're going to do a recruiting tour where I am going to come to certain cities, and if you already have your chapter ready to go, I'll have my team with me. We'll inspect your folks. We'll make sure everybody's up to snuff and check documentation, and then we'll swear you in, and you are then officially a member of this of our particular organization. What happened in Stone Mountain also is we swore in all of those people. They had come from many different places. This was their final step. The 2.5 mile road march up and down hills in the hot sun with all the quarantine foods you ate was your final test to see if you could make it into the NFAC. But that's all I have. And I thank you for having me. And I would hope that everyone realizes that we're setting an example of how you should respond in the ongoing phase of aggression against the Black community. Thank you again, Roland.
No, I appreciate it. Again, for the folks who are out there, I unfortunately I do not have it with me. But it is on my bookshelf at home. I'm trying to actually pull it up right now. Just give me a second. I want to. So for the folks who, again, who don't understand history, Lance Hill is the author of a book. Go ahead and show this. The Deacons for Defense, Armed Resistance and the Civil Rights Movement. And so you need to understand that particular book. And I'm going to pull up another book. Just give me a second. For folks who don't know, I actually interviewed him. He was one of the leaders of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, Charles Cobb. And Charles Cobb also wrote a book. Give me one second. And again, remember last week we were discussing this. Greg, Dr. Greg Carr, showed you a particular book as well that dealt with the issue of the history of African Americans and gun rights. Charles Cobb's book, I'm looking for the cover, but I think it was called This Nonviolent Stuff Will Get You Killed. And he was actually talking about, again, the history of gun rights during the Black Freedom Movement. Grandmaster Jay, we truly appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Mr. Martin, thank you.
I guess you have now the latest information of what's getting ready to happen around the United States. Not just in the South, but throughout the United States, where Black people are starting to mobilize. To me, this looks like civil war all over again. But it amounts to Black people saying, I've had enough. I've had enough of you lynching me. I had enough of you killing me. I had enough of you pushing me back to a period of time that may have been good for white people, but it surely has not been good for Black people. And in terms of being second-class citizens, that's what they do not want to do. Or I want to be a part of myself, personally. So we have some more time left. It is now, let's see what time it is, the 5:05, 5:09. So we have some more time. And I just wanted to see if I can pull some more stuff up to show you about Fox News freaks out over armed protesters in Wendy's. Let's check this out.
You want to support all about our filter? Be sure to join our Bring the Funk fan club. Every dollar that you...
Video. And when I say... I absolutely cracked up laughing. You know, we always talk about what happened when the planters rolled with those long rifles in Sacramento in the state capitol. The white folks moved real quick to ban those guns in the state capitol. This was an interview that she did with Ed Henry, Kelly Loeffler, of course, United States Senator from Georgia. Y'all, this is just hilarious. Watch.
Not every day you see people carrying long guns in big cities in America. What is happening on the streets of Atlanta this morning?
Well, Ed, this is totally unacceptable. We cannot allow mob rule. We're a nation of the rule of law, and this is exactly what will happen if we defund the police. And that's exactly what the Democrats want to do. They have a move to defund, to dismantle law enforcement. I have stood strong with law enforcement from day one. I've recently introduced legislation that penalizes states and municipalities that move to defund without a budgetary reason by withholding federal highway safety transportation funds. So I stand strong with law enforcement. We need to bring the Justice Act to the floor. We need to have that debate. Our country expects us to do that.
I'll get to that bill in a moment, but in the meantime, we've got people with 12-gauge shotguns saying, we're keeping the police out. What in the world do you do about that? It has to make people wonder at a time when we keep hearing about sick calls in the Atlanta Police Department, some police officers not wanting to come to work because they don't think local officials have their backs.
Well, this is exactly what I've been warning about with the defund the police movement. It hurts all communities. It hurts everyone in our country when we don't have law and order, when we have mob rule. This is the vision that the Democrats have for our country. It's a great example of why we need to move this bill to the floor, why we need to stand strong with strengthening law enforcement, to rooting out bad apples. Everyone wants that. We all agree. And this can't be politicized. We've got to protect our citizens.
Well, on your last point there, we thought there was agreement potentially on police reform after these tragic deaths in Atlanta, Minneapolis, other places. Obviously, Democrats have been saying we need to pass this police reform bill. Now yourself, Tim Scott, and other Republicans.
I don't recall Kelly Loeffler, Reese, saying yet when white folks in Michigan and Wisconsin and Georgia and Texas were parading around with their guns at the state capitol when they were inside of the Michigan state capitol blocking folks from getting to the governor's office.
And in the police officers' faces, shouting them down, they were armed. None of them got shot. None of them even got roughed up. And so Republicans are exposing themselves for the hypocrites that they are. Yeah, those black folks with them big-ass guns look very scary to these white Republicans. They look very scary to these white nationalists that their mob rule is being threatened because they do not want to see black people rise up and exercise their constitutional rights to bear arms. And so, yeah, they can have these folks that are just simply standing there. They're not committing any crimes. They're exercising their constitutional rights, which the Republicans are supposedly for. That was scary to them. Well, that looks a lot more reassuring to me than all those white folks armed in these capitals, talking about don't wear a mask and we need to end the quarantine.
And here we go, Erica. This is the video in Michigan. Look, we got fatigue. My man that got his gun. And oh, I didn't hear Kelly and Fox News saying, my rule.
No, because those are the same listeners of Fox News. It is so interesting to hear Kelly Loeffler talk about law and order. She is the richest person in Congress, and this is the same person whose investigation around insider trading was folded up by the Department of Justice. So where was the law and order around her insider trading? Was she trading when she got that Senate coronavirus briefing and then magically sold a lot of stocks? So what we're hearing is more of the same of Republicans talking in sound by talking about really when black people stand in their power, how that then threatens white rule. And I'm glad. I cannot wait to continue to see more black people stand in their power, more black folks make sure that they are going to get weapons training if they've not gotten weapons training. Stand in your political power because, as you saw in the video that you just showed, white people continue to do that. They spit, they share their droplets, and you see law enforcement does not engage them in the same way that they do with black folks. So really, Kelly Loeffler, and really glad that seat that she was appointed to is definitely one that's a hotly contested seat in Georgia, somebody who was deserving, who is not just someone who happens to be married to the president of the New York Stock Exchange, just has that kind of wealth ability to be able to assume the seat, but someone who actually is for the people that would carry the message for the people to the halls of the Senate.
Greg, oh, my God, look at those black people with those big guns. Look at these white people in Michigan with the big guns. What about that? Look at that, Greg. I mean, goodness. I'm sorry. Look like the white folks in Michigan had ordered from the same big gun place as the black folks, but no. When the Negroes go get big guns, oh, we got to pass some laws.
Well, you know, brother, the anchor there is
Ed Henry.
Had the fear in his voice that remember when Robert Williams told the story about how in North Carolina, when the white boys showed up with their guns, and then Robert and Mabel Williams and all them had their guns, that they made them so nervous that the white police dropped their guns out of fear. That story, by the way, is in this book right here, Negroes with Guns. This is the book, 1962. Robert Williams says, why do I speak to you from exile? Because he was in Cuba, he and Mabel Williams. Because the Negro community in the South took up guns in self-defense against racist violence and used them. I am held responsible for this action, that for the first time in history, American Negroes have armed themselves as a group to defend their homes, their wives, their children in a situation where law and order had broken down and the authorities could not or would not force and protect American citizens. This is what Robert Williams said finally. I accept this responsibility and I am proud of it. Hey, Fox News, come on, baby. If we must die, let us nobly die. But what did Robert Williams then find out? When we pulled our guns out, them white boys got so scared they dropped their guns. And we're going to have, like Erica said, we're going to have to deal with Kelly Loeffler in a few months. You got a brother coming on in a minute that's going to whip her like she stole something.
Well,
I heard you talk all about Uncle Trevino in just 1 month.
All right, fam, from the seat.com. Founded by Mary Spio, a sister, of course. She is the inventor, the creator of these devices, this virtual reality headset right here. You saw it in the video there. And also the 360-degree 4D headphones. You can actually get these with a discount because they partner with us at Roland Martin Unfiltered. Right here, here's the code, RMVIP2020, RMVIP2020. First off, folks, the headsets are phenomenal. The headphones are absolutely phenomenal. And, of course, the VR headset is great because you just pop your phone, put it into the device, and you can actually see video in virtual reality. So it's real cool. Go to Seek.com, 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 and use the promo code RMVIP2020.
Okay. I don't have time to be listening to the music, and we only have about 12 minutes left to start off with. But I wanted to say a few things, not that anybody's trying to frighten anybody or anything like that, but it is real. I can remember the fear back in the 1960s when the Black Panthers were walking around with guns. It looks like we're headed back in that particular territory where black people now, in order to protect themselves, because they see for a fact that white people are just going to call the police on anything that a black person does or just not do. If they just look like they're just standing around not doing anything, the cops are going to be called to actually be some kind of assertive machine to remove them, and it's a double standard, actually, when you have people who show up and are going to try to kidnap the governor of Michigan, and then you have black people who are walking in the streets with their guns. It's a different story, you know. It's a travesty that we have to go that route, but it looks like those that were last are going to end up being first. It's not so much brutality, but it's just a problem that it seems like we're up against. I know my son-in-law was talking about the trash can in the backyard or on the side of the house. Being on a little space on the other person's property who happens to be white, called the police on my son-in-law because of the trash basket, trash can, garbage can being 1/4 over the space. That, now that gets to be sort of stupid and ridiculous. Just so happens my son-in-law was not here, but the cops did come and look at what he had, look at the situation. But I don't know what occurred, but the cops didn't stay because I guess they must have thought that was sort of stupid. In any event, once again, this has been Getting It Done, and I have been your host, Dr. Walter Dean. Hopefully you enjoyed some of the kinds of things that are happening in our society that are causing the split that we had in our society to even be more overwhelming, to the point where Black people at this particular point now have said, okay, enough, and are now starting to arm themselves with weapons so that when people come to mess with them and start shooting at them, they will now turn around and shoot back. And I don't believe that's the most appropriate way to go, but that's what happens because there is no more Martin Luther King. And we've lost most of our civil rights leaders who prescribed it as a means of nonviolence. But I guess that particular concept has its flaws because there's just too many Black people dying, truthfully speaking. Next week, what I will probably try to do is to, on Monday, if I have the show, I will probably try to provide you with some additional information of the things that are getting ready to happen in our society. And hopefully you can get yourself together to understand that we're in for a war and a rumor of war, which is called for in the Bible. This has been Getting It Done, and I have been your host, Dr. Walter Dean. We're going to let it go early, even though we have a few more minutes. Actually, you have 8 more minutes left, but I have nothing else more to say upon this subject. But I will be continuing once I do some more research to find things that might be appropriate for us to learn about what's going on in our society that has flaws in our race relations. Be cool. Have a good weekend. God bless.